this is supposed to be happy little pirates, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Making kids class fun. Well, this will be a fun one. Okay. Well, I hope it will be. I'm going to enjoy myself. I hope you will. So how many of you teach Sunday school? All right. I work on a bus or just work with kids in any capacity? You okay. Some do all of the above. Okay. Well, that's great. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and let me get my brain switched gears here, and we'll get started. Dear Lord, I thank you for these ladies, and Lord, I love children, and I love when their teachers have a desire, Lord, to be a great teacher, somebody that can make an impression and leave lasting imprints on their hearts and on their lives. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to want to do all that we can to touch the lives of children. In your name we pray. Amen. So, making kids' class fun. You know, I wish that kids just had this big desire to come to church and to soak up everything they can about the Lord and Jesus and what he did for us and all like that. But that just isn't so. You know, how many times have you heard kids say, well, what do we get? What's in it for me? What are we gonna do? You know, I worked on a bus for 23 years, and I heard that so many times about, well, what is Sunday? You know, they wanted to know what the promotion was or what we were gonna do and stuff like that. And, you know, one of my greatest frustrations as a bus captain for all those years is working hard to get kids to come to church. And they would come for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 4 or 5 weeks, and then I wouldn't see them again. I go and visit them, and I'm like, where were you? We've missed you. Why, you know, you were coming all the time. Why don't you come now? And for them to look at me and say, my class was boring. Sunday school was boring. And it's just, I think I worked so hard to get them to come. And as Sunday school teachers, we have, and I was a Sunday school teacher too, so I'm not just pointing my finger that way, they're pointing this way too. It's our responsibility to make that class important. You know, we can't get the lesson and then spend 15, 20 minutes looking over it Saturday night before we go to bed. We're not going to be able to put into it enough to keep those kids enthused and excited and wanting to come back. It takes work from us. We can't be some just lackadaisical, oh, I'll fly by the seat of my pant teacher. That's not going to work. And so, like I said, I wish they would just come because they wanted to learn about Jesus. But we've got to, the things that we compete with these days. You know, when I started my bus 23, 24 years ago, it was a whole different story. It was a lot easier to fill that bus up. I mean, I would run 40, 45 every Sunday. Easy. And now it's like pulling hen's teeth to get kids to want to come to church. And, you know, but back then, I didn't have to compete as much as you have to compete with today. Those kids have the internet and video games and TikTok and all those type of things that they're addicted to. They're addicted to entertainment. They're addicted to all this stuff. And it makes it hard for us. And we've got to be on top of our game to try to make our class exciting and fun to make them want to come. So we as teachers, we need to ask God, God, give me wisdom. Help me to know how to make my class and my lesson fun and interesting enough where these kids will want to keep coming. And so their little hearts can have time to learn and to open up and to be convicted and to get saved. And then to have that desire to come to learn more about Jesus. We've got to keep them long enough to get them to that place. So these are just ideas today, things that have worked for me in the past. I taught the 4th through 6th grade girls for right at 30 years. And I've got girls in my Sunday school class whose moms were in my Sunday school class. I've got kids on my bus whose parents rode my bus. And I'm no longer teaching that class. I just recently moved to Texas. But my replacement, Miss Alyssa, raise your hand. She is here today, and I'm so excited that my girls got a good replacement. They were so worried. They were like, when I told them that I was moving, and they cried, and they were like, Miss Cavanaugh, how can we ever have another teacher that's going to be fun? What if our other teacher just isn't any fun? What if she doesn't sing pretty? And what if she doesn't like to do this? And what if she... And so when I let them know that Miss Alyssa was going to be their new teacher, all their worries were gone. They were very excited about that. And she's done a great job with them. But these are some things that I used in my class that maybe will just spur an idea for you. And maybe it will work for you. Maybe it won't. But we should always be looking for different things to help us to make that class exciting. So first of all, have some way to motivate your students to faithfulness. Motivate them to faithfulness. In my class, I had something I called the Faithfulness Award. And you had to come 4 Sundays in a row to get your Faithfulness Award. And Miss Alyssa and Miss Lauren's shaking her head because she's won the Faithfulness Award in my class many times. She's now a senior in college, about to graduate from college. But when she was 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, she was in my class. And Alyssa, what happened so many times? I'm Alyssa. Lauren, what happened with girls so many times for the Faithfulness Award?
They'd come 3 Sundays and miss the 4th.
They would come 3 Sundays, and on the 4th Sunday, either a friend would ask them to spend the night, or they would get sick, or their parents decided they... And there were a lot of times that it was really not their fault, but it didn't matter. There were no excuses. The only time I went away from this was if I had a girl in my class who was an every other week, because she was with her dad 1 week, then her mom 1 week. And we knew it was every other week she would be there. Then the weeks that she was with the parent that she got to come, if she came 4 Sundays every other week in a row, she would get the Faithfulness Award. But so many times, but it was just amazing how it encouraged them to faithfulness, because I would let them know, it's your second Sunday, come next Sunday, and then the next one, you'll get your Faithfulness Award. It might be a candy bar. It might be, we would have a garage sale and all the leftover little trinkets I would just keep in my treasure chest of giveaways. And it may be a bracelet, or it may be a fancy pen or a notepad or a journal. Or it really depended on whatever I had. And so it wasn't expensive. It wasn't anything big. But they worked to be faithful every Sunday so they could get their Faithfulness Award. And when I would remind them, hey, this is your third Sunday, you come next week and you'll get it. Then I've had girls say, my friend asked me to spend the night, but I knew this was going to be my fourth Sunday, so I didn't do it. And you may say, all that for a candy bar? It encouraged them and it helped them. So that's just an idea. Another thing I did many times would ask for prayer requests. Sometimes they may just say, I don't know, I don't have any. Other times you learn so much about them by the things that are on their heart that they ask you to pray for. And so ask them for prayer requests and then really pray for them that week. Please don't ask them for the prayer requests and forget to pray for them. And then the next week, you say, man, I prayed for you this week. I prayed for that prayer request, and I prayed that, your grandma would do this or that, or I prayed that and whatever they said. And it shows them that, hey, she thought about me during the week. It's not just when I'm sitting here in front of her. My teacher thought about me and took time to pray for what was important in my life. And kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so that is a good way to show them that you care about them. Ask about their prayer requests. Then the next week, ask them for an update. Number 3, use visuals to help teach your lesson. Try to make it come to life for them. Involve them. Benjamin Franklin said, tell me and I forget. Teach me and I remember. Involve me and I learn. And so standing up there in front of your class, and hopefully none of you just read your lesson. Hopefully not. I would fall asleep in that. Make that lesson come to life in your heart, or you'll never make it come to life in theirs. And so find a way, whether it's flannel graph, whether it's a game to go with the lesson. Ask the Lord, Lord, please show me. I don't feel like I'm very creative, Lord. You've got to give me some ideas. How can I make this lesson come to life for my kids? And there's been some lessons that are just easy to do that. There's been other lessons, I read it and I think, I'm clueless here, Lord. How do I teach this to fourth graders? How is this going to be? How do I make it real to them? And, you know, ladies, sometimes we just have to get on our knees and just say, Lord, give me ideas. Give me wisdom on how to make this come to life for my kids and to make them remember it and to make them apply it to their life. And so, but involve them. If you're teaching about the walls of Jericho, you know, set up chairs and have them marching around the chairs, and then you march around the chairs, and then, you know, being quiet and all that, and day one, and then you all go run over here back to your tents and sleep. Then you get up the next day and you quietly march around the chairs and teach them like that. Then on that last day, you know, when you go around seven times and you shout and you yell and all this, and the chairs make the chairs crash over, and they'll remember that so much more than you just standing up there and telling them the story. My kids still remember. My kids now that are on the mission field and are grown or parents have kids of their own, they remember sitting in Aunt Sue's, you know, 4 or 5 year old class learning about the little boy who gave his lunch because they were sitting there eating smoked fish, smoked salmon, and the little rolls. And she brought all this and she, you know, she made it come to life for them. She involved them. It stuck with them. Yeah, we've had lessons about the Lord, saying peace be still and calming the storm. I remember teaching that one. The girls came in, and after we had our opening stuff and everything, when I was ready to teach, turning out all the lights, and then on my phone, making it where it flashed, where the light flashed, and there was the storm sound in the background. And I taught the lesson with this, you know, the light flashing and the noise of thunder and lightning around us. And I taught the lesson like that. Just be creative. I think one of the things that may have stood out in some of my kids' minds the most was when we talked about the Gadarean and the demoniac of Gadara. And I loaded them up in my van and took them. Where did I take you, Lauren?
Graveyard.
I took them to the graveyard. And we sat there and had our lesson about the demoniac in the graveyard, because that's where he would dwell. He stayed in the graveyard, and he would, you know, be held with chains and all this, and he would run wild and naked among the tombs. We didn't do that. But anyway, and they, you know, they're like, oh, wait, you know, wait till I tell so-and-so. We had our lesson in the graveyard. And but ask the Lord, help me to know how to involve the kids, how to make it exciting, how to make it stick in their minds. My husband always said, put skin on the Bible. Put skin on the Bible. Make it come to life and make it something that they will remember. And the next, change things up. Don't do it the same way every week. Maybe use flannel graph one week. Maybe another day you have picture story cards. Maybe another day you have a game that goes with your lesson. Change things up. Don't let it get be the same thing and boring every week. They say variety is the spice of life, and kids like variety too. And then number five, remember that kids love M&Ms. M&Ms, in this sense, is movement and memorizing. Movement and memorizing. When you're trying to get your kids to memorize something, whether it's the books of the Bible, we work through that with the kids, or it's the memory verse for the week, don't just sit there and say, okay, we're going to say this over and over 10 times and see if we can memorize it. Well, you know, going over it more than once is a good thing, but when you can get movement and memorizing together, that helps them. When we did the books of the Bible, I would do different things with my girls. I love bean bags. I don't know. There's something about a good old-fashioned beanbag. That is just fun. You can play toss. You can throw it into can. You know, you can make games with it. But we had beanbag Sunday on the bus 1 year, and I made about 50 beanbags. And so the ones that I had left over, I still took them around with me and used them for different games and different things. But when we were learning the books of the Bible, we would get in a circle. And this was like after my lesson when we had a little extra time. We'd get in a circle, and just every time we tossed it around to the next girl, we would say the next book of the Bible, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And we tossed it around the circle and just said the books of the Bible as it went around. And just something to keep movement and memorizing together. I would carry a jump rope in my bag, and one girl would get the other end, and I'd get this end, and we'd get it spinning, and then one girl would jump in. And then as she jumped, every time she jumped the jump rope, we would, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, oh, boy, these earrings are heavy. I told my daughter this morning my earlobes are going to be an inch longer by the end of the day. I don't wear big earrings. This is just for this conference. But anyway, just ask the Lord, help me to know different things, different ways. Give me ideas of how to help them memorize these things. We have a lady in our church, Miss Trina. That's Jaden's mom. She's also we're co-grandmas. My son Caleb married her daughter Kelsey, and they're in the Republic of Congo as missionaries. And Miss Trina is probably one of the best kids teachers I have ever met. I told her when I found out that I was supposed to be speaking on this, I said, "Kid, Miss Trina, can I see if Brother Ray would just let me bring you in and let you teach the class? Because she is so good." But she teaches 4- and 5-year-olds. And I want you to know, when we started working in the Sunday school on having our kids memorize the books of the Bible, and sometimes I'd work on it on the bus, and so I would see the ones that knew it and that were getting it down, the 4- and 5-year-olds learned the books of the Bible before any other of the other kids did. She was amazing helping them memorize. She would do different things each week. She would have, like, she would take the little blocks like this and have Matthew, Mark, and these kids can't read, but they love putting the blocks together. And they would, sometimes they would recognize the pictures. She had them all, you know, all the books of the Bible, and the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they would work, and as they stacked the blocks up together, they would say the books of the Bible, and just things like that. She would have like picture cards, and it had the numbers on it, and the picture. She used different things to help her. Sometimes she would use the little fish, and she had these little things right here. She'd have a fishing pole with a little line with a magnet on it, and they would drop it down, and it would catch one of these fish, and they would pull that up. Then she would have this big, I don't know if it was a flannel or whatever, but it was the big ocean. And they would have to go, and she would help them find the spot that fish went in the ocean. And Genesis and Exodus. And she had all these different ideas of how to teach these kids to help them memorize. And see, she didn't do the same thing week after week. She changed it up. She changed it up and had variety. Here's Matthew, Mark. She would, the kids would get to learn the picture. They were too young. They didn't know how to read. But they would memorize the picture, and they would say, "Oh, that one's Matthew, and that's Mark." And she would have, like, cups turned upside down with a little slot in it. And they would go and stick these into the cups. And Matthew, Mark, Luke. She just had so many. And more than this, she would have the names written on cups where they stacked the cups. She was so good at just finding different ways, but it always included motion. She involved them. They were doing something with their hands or something like that, where it helped them to learn, and it kept their mind engaged, and they enjoyed doing that. And so, movement and motion. One of the things that I would do with my girls sometimes, when we were memorizing a verse, I would take that verse, and I just, like, did Psalm 56, verse 3, I would take that verse and I would just print it out. And then the first group, I would cut out phrases where, like, it would say, what time, I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And I would give these to the girls. Sometimes I would print out enough where each girl got their own stack, or sometimes I would have them divided into two teams. And I would give the girls one of these phrases, and then they would be a race to see which group of girls could lay their verses out in order first. And I'd start it with the phrase. And then after they got that down, being able to do it with the phrase, I'd take that away and give them the next stack. That was just one word at a time. And then we'd have a race between the two sides to see who could take their verse and lay it out in order. So just ask the Lord, give me ideas, Lord. Give me wisdom. How can I help these girls to learn your word and make it fun? Make it something that they will enjoy. You can put a verse to song. And that verse, matter of fact, when my kids were little and they were afraid of the dark, or they were afraid, you know, to be left alone or something like that, I took that verse and made it a song. And I would sing that to the kids, and it says, Alyssa and Lauren, y'all sing with me, and Jaden, you may know it too, because we sung this in children's church. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, Lord, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56, verse 3. You can learn a song pretty fast. And I would sing that to my kids, and they grew up knowing that. And now they sing it to their kids. And I've heard, well, matter of fact, my mom has just in the last 10 months has gotten dementia very badly and Parkinson's disease. And part of that, one of her symptoms is that she's very anxious. She's afraid all the time. And she's just, oh, I'm Karen, I'm afraid. And my little grandson, Levi, who lives in Nepal, he told his mom, I want to make a video for Mimi. And he made a video of him singing that song to his Mimi. And so when she gets all anxious and afraid, my dad says, what did your great-grandson tell you? And she says, I know what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And so my grandson has taught his great-grandmother that verse by singing it to her and helping her when she's afraid. And so anyway, make it, you can do things like that. Number 6, don't allow for any downtime. That's when they get restless and it's easy to lose control of your class. Overplan. Have minute to win it games ready, or some kind of craft, or just some filler. So you know you're not through with your lesson and you've got 15 minutes left and you're thinking, okay, now what do we do? Have fillers ready. Have games ready. Have something ready where you don't have any downtime, because that's when you lose control. Number 7, use a color sheet just sporadically, not weekly. Many times that's our fallback. Well, here's my lesson. Here's a color sheet to go with it. They can color that while I teach and all will be well. If I always felt guilty when that's all I had, because I knew I didn't take time to plan that week. I knew I didn't do my part as a teacher when all I had was a color sheet. And there were weeks like that, and I felt guilty because I knew I didn't put the time in that I should have. So use a color sheet sporadically, and even change that up. Something that Ms. Thompson told me that she does with her 4 or 5-year-olds is that if they do have a color sheet, they will color, and then, like, you know, every so often they'll color for about 30 seconds, and then she says, okay, change colors, and everybody has to pass the color to the person next to them. And so she keeps it moving, keeps it, you know, just a twist on that. And then lastly, realize that an exciting, fun class doesn't just happen. It takes preparation, and it takes time. But ladies, it's worth the time, and the time makes a difference. I know this Miss Trina that I talked about, I know why she's such a great teacher. Every week she puts in an average of 10 hours a week getting ready for her class. 10 hours a week. And I'm not saying that's what you have to do, but if you're just putting in 20 minutes on Saturday night, it's going to show. If you want to be an amazing, great kids teacher like this lady is, you've got to put in the time. And the more time you invest, the more it shows. And so, ladies, let's have that desire. I want to be a great kids teacher. I want to be a great Sunday school teacher that when my kids have graduated, have gone on, and have kids of their own, they can look back and say, oh, I remember when she taught me that lesson. I remember when we did that. And see them be excited about a lesson their kids are learning because they remember when you taught that to them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for these ladies. Lord, please help us to want to invest in children. Lord, we know that children are important. We know that you said, suffer not the little children to come unto me. You wanted them to be around you. You knew kids were important, and you showed them a special place, dear Lord. Please help us to do our part to be great teachers. In your name we pray. Amen.